Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. This is Don Williams of Sports Recruiting USA. Today, I've got one of my favorite guests on our Inside College Soccer Podcast, and Dan Abrahams. Dan, maybe second or third time you've been on, and we haven't had very many multiple guests. So welcome, Dan.
I'm honored. I'm honored to be one of the few multiple guests. I think it's the second time. I think I was your first guest, actually, unless I'm mistaken. But we had a good chat.
Pretty
way
close.
Back. Yeah, I think it was. It was like the top three or five or something, and it was a chat way back when. But we nearly did it in Kansas City, didn't we? But couldn't quite get the timing right. But it's a delight and an honour to be here, and it's good to hear that you've got your voice back, because back in January when we were in Kansas, boy, man, you must have talked to a lot of people because you'd lost your voice by the end of the week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, it is. It gets like that. So Dan, so for those that don't know who you are, Dan, why don't you just do a brief introduction for us?
Sure, no worries. Well, Dan Abrahams, I'm a sports psychologist. And a sports psychologist who I suppose specializes in soccer. I'm a former pro golfer, so I do a lot of work in golf, and I work across all sports, but I predominantly work in soccer here in England, here in the UK, here in Europe, but also globally. I'm proud to say that my books have sold very well over the years in America. I get to come over and visit to deliver at the United Soccer Coaches Convention every year, where I catch up with many friends. And we're going to be talking a bit about my soccer academy today. So, I work closely with a lot of soccer colleges, high schools, and clubs over in the US. I work with a lot of young players and elite players in the US. And I also have my own podcast, which is half as good as your podcast, Don. But and that's the Sports Psych Show, which we've just got over the million barrier mark, million downloads. So that's going well as well. So that's me, mate.
So what, real quick here, just to close in on that, some of your clients you obviously can't name for I think that's obvious reasons for confidentiality, but what types of players have you worked with that you either can name, or the levels that they coach at, on the upper end of the scale? And obviously you work all the way down with certain youth players, I know, but what types of clients do you deal with in the soccer world?
Sure. So I'm blessed to have the opportunity to work with players at all levels, as you've suggested, on both the men's, the women's, the girls, and the boys' side. And I love the fact that I get to work at all levels. I do probably function the most at the what might be described as the adult elite level. I've held half a dozen contracts at Premier League clubs, Championship clubs here in England, and I do work with a lot of elite players who are playing, Champions League on the men's and the women's side here in Europe, and international soccer. And only last week I started with an MLS player, worked with lots of MLS and NWSL players, and quite a few members of the US women's national teams. So I'm very fortunate. I'm blessed to work with players of all ages and all levels. But I do a lot with the very elite, if that's what you want to call them or describe them as. So yeah, that's what I do.
I'm actually glad that you call that level elite. I can't stand it in the United States when we call a 12-year-old elite level.
No, there's no 12-year-old elites. It's something I agree with you there. It's something that I'm pleased that a lot of good people are now starting to squash, and that's not disrespectful for any really good 12-year-old, and it's not disrespectful for any parent or coach who perhaps uses that term, but I would urge them to have a think about utilizing that term, or really using the term for adults rather than for children. You know, what we know about development is that you know, it's a process, and there's really no 12-year-olds who are elite players. There are 12-year-olds who are very good soccer players for 12-year-olds, and hopefully they enjoy it and they love participating in the game. And maybe they'll get the opportunity to play it for a lifetime and maybe explore how good they can be and how good they're going to be. We don't know. There's nobody's got a crystal ball. So I personally agree with you, Don. I personally think it's very important that we don't really use that term when it comes to very young players.
Yeah. So Dan, one of the things that the reason I reached out to you again is because I've been having conversations with my clients as we're preparing to go to college. In fact, ironically, we booked this a couple days ago. I had a phone call yesterday with one of my clients who's at one side of the United States and is now talking to schools on the other side of the United States, and fear has begun to grip her heart. Came to us late, 2022 entry, because I think she was scared about going to college and playing, and then got up some courage, said, yes, I want to do this, and is good enough of a player to be able to play in college, no doubt in any of our minds. And then called me yesterday and said, now that I'm talking to these coaches, I know that I want to do this, but I'm really scared about doing this. I think she's scared about moving to the other side of the country, scared about leaving home, scared about performance, getting performance anxiety before it's even happened, by the way. And it brings to mind the old Mark Twain quote about, oh, the worst things in my life that ever happened to me, some of them actually happened. these things that we create in our minds, these stories that we begin to weave, and I wanted to, that tend to paralyze us, by the way, as players. And you and I kind of talked before this, even if we don't admit that they've paralyzed us, I'm not sure that there's hardly a human being on planet that loves change, loves jumping into the unknown. Some do. Some get a thrill off of it. But I think that those are probably the rare, the small percentages of the outliers, if we want to call it that. So I really wanted to address for our players this idea of change and moving and then having to perform in a new environment. And I know you deal with this with pro players, too. You're moving to a new club. You don't know anybody. Or don't know very many of the players, and now suddenly, within a matter of days, you must begin to perform at a very high level. Now that's a lot, Dan. That's probably two hours worth of psychology that I'm asking you to shove into a half an hour. So I'm going to let you kind of take it from there, and we can go back and forth and dialogue about this.
Yeah. No. Look, it's interesting you mentioned pro players there. I mean, I've been blessed to work with pro players for the last 15, 16, 17 years now. And I have had quite a lot of conversations with players who have the potential to move somewhere, and even some household names who have had the potential to move somewhere. But that place that they were potentially moving to felt out of their comfort zone. You talked about that feeling of discomfort. And it's taken quite a long conversation to unpack what it is they're experiencing and why they're potentially experiencing that. And some choose to go and some choose not to, or to move to what feels like a safer destination. And so I don't think there's any right or wrong answer here necessarily, and there's certainly no right or wrong way to feel or to experience your inner self. And I think that that's such an important thing to say, in my opinion. I talk to players, coaches, people about experiencing ANTS. ANTS being an acronym for automatic negative thoughts. And when I say automatic negative thoughts, ANTS, I would also load onto those thoughts feelings and emotions. So when I say this term ANTS, automatic negative thoughts, I'm also talking about feelings and emotions as well, because feelings, thoughts and emotions are kind of experienced by and large at the same time, by and large. And I think that in sport, we're kind of socialized into got to think positively, got to think positively, got to think positively. You can't think negatively. You're not allowed to have any space to think negatively, right, or to think about failure or to have any doubts or worries. And I personally have a slight issue with that, because that's just not how human beings function. That's not the human experience. For me, it's okay to have ANTS, automatic negative thoughts, feelings, emotions. It's okay to experience doubts and worries and anxieties. I think that's perfectly normal. And I actually think that's step one, is just understanding, look, how I'm feeling, the inner experiences that I'm having. This is completely normal. It's absolutely
just
fine.
Just acknowledging them, right, Dan? I mean, just the first step to fixing something is acknowledging it, right? Yeah.
Can be. That's
knowing
completely
that,
right.
Knowing that it's there.
That self-awareness piece. That self-awareness piece. Because on the one hand, you might be experiencing it. On the other hand, you might not acknowledge it's an actual thing you're experiencing, if that makes sense. And so, yes, you're right in saying I acknowledge it's there, but also giving yourself permission to experience those inner sensations.
Oh, I like
again,
that.
I like that. But again, because I want to emphasize, and obviously we're talking about, you know, soccer here, we're talking about young people who have probably excelled in their soccer in a certain environment, because we're talking about their potential to go and play in college across the other side of the country. So, you know, they will have experienced a lot of success in their soccer. They may have experienced a lot of success in their life. Maybe they've not experienced much failure. Maybe. And so these internal experiences might be quite new to them to a degree. And it's okay. And as I say, they're coming from a background where a lot of the messages are got to be positive, got to be positive, got to be. Now, I'm not saying to anybody, wow, you must be negative or you cannot think positively. I'm not saying that. Of course, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is give yourself permission to experience these. These aren't bad. Okay. This is just a sign. This is your body. What we know in science, okay, is that your body is sending messages, data to your brain at all times. And it's just, as human beings, we love home, we become attached to our home, and as you said, some less so, but by and large we're attached to our home. That the meaning of home is safety, it's comfort, it's where we go to, it's where we are most of the time, and it's filled with people that we probably trust, right? So it's filled with meaning that's safe and secure. And so when somebody says, well, come to the other side of the country and come and be with us, a bunch of strangers, the message is, you know, you're striving to get in the team, you feel that you're being judged, of course you're probably going to have these ANTS. That's okay. Give yourself permission to experience those. But then we've probably got to do something. Okay. Then I would say we do have a choice. Then I'd say we do have a choice with the right skills and competencies. Okay. And then I think we can direct our attention onto something that might turn down the volume of ants, to the point maybe where they'll completely squash the ants, or we're just kind of turning down a volume from, rather than being loud at 8 out of 10 and all encompassing and engulfing us, we might be able to turn them down to 3, 4, 3 or 2. So they might still be there, but we've directed our attention onto something that helps us feel a little bit better. Okay, and that can be a whole range of things. It might be, and this is where I tend to talk to people about utilizing three tools in anybody's psychological toolbox: memory, imagination, and perception. Memory, imagination, and perception. And from a memory standpoint, you might strive to remember when you've been asked to do something difficult in the past. Maybe you've gone and played touring somewhere, or you've been on the road and you've gone and played somewhere else, or maybe you've had a difficult challenge in your soccer or something like that. It might not be completely similar to your scenario, but it might be something that you've done in the past where you've been really nervous, but you've met those nerves on the front foot and you've gone and done it anyway, essentially. So you're tapping into your memory box, around what have you done in the past when you've been nervous, where you've gone on and successfully conquered that bit of fear, if you like.
Right.
Imagination could be, okay, so I'm having these ants and I'm really nervous about going there. What will it look like if I go there and I am successful? So I play well in the first few weeks. What would that look like? What would I be doing? How would I be going about my business? I'm a midfielder. What would I be? And you could get really specific there. You could imagine, I'm going box to box. I'm getting on the ball. I'm being vocal. I might still have these ants, but I'm getting on the end of passes. I'm sending through balls. I'm getting back and helping the defenders. What am I doing socially if it goes really well? Well, I'd be a bit nervous around people, but I'm chatting to people. So what you're trying to do, just as memory asks you to remember clues where you've been successful in the past, imagination is asking you to think about some kind of future success, build that up in your mind, think about that in granular detail, and you can think about the soccer, you can think about the social side, you can think about the work side, and you can create a granular detailed world around being successful. So that is imagination. Again, we're not going to maybe completely squash the ant, but you start to shift your attention away from the ants, the nerves, the worries, the doubts, onto, okay, well, what would it look like if I do this and this and this and this? And as you're brainstorming, you can write some stuff down and start to immerse yourself in the world that you're writing down. The other tool there, we've got memory, we've got imagination, we might have perception. And there's lots of directions I could take this, but what, you know, with perception, it could be perceiving the advantages of going to the other side of the country. What might I get from this? I'm nervous, I'm worried, I'm doubting, I'm experiencing these ants, and it doesn't feel very nice. But let me start to think about what the advantages are of going to the other side of the country and going and engaging with this scholarship or whatever I've got. Right. And you can start to list what you'll get out of it that you're going to love. So I get to continue playing soccer, as an example. I get to meet new people. That can be scary, but it also brings about new friends, new experiences. I get to see another part of the country, essentially another part of the world. That's how big America is, right? So I get to continue my studies whilst playing soccer. And there'll be people out there, including yourself, Don, who could think of so many more advantages or benefits of going across the country. But essentially, memory, imagination, and perception, what we're doing is shifting attention away from the ants, because when you're worried and doubting about something, our brain and nervous system is designed to hone in on those things, and that's where we become engulfed by the ants. Well, if we want to zoom out, we need to shift our attention and zoom out and then zoom away onto something else. Memory, imagination, perception. And that's, again, I want to emphasize, nobody is going to be able to get rid of the ants completely. Okay, but we can shift away from them and turn down the volume of those ants. Now, the last thing to say here is I would say you can't get rid of ants, so you might still have to live with a small volume of ants there and just go and do it anyway. Live in that world of, live in that perceptive world of these are my benefits. Live in that imaginary world of this is my plan. This is what I'm going to go and do. I can't guarantee that I'll be successful, but I'm going to go and do these actions on the pitch, in my social life, in the classroom. And then memory. Oh, remember when I did that thing before, when we travelled on the road and I had to meet new people and play with that team there. And that, well, I did that. So you're still going to have a volume of ants, but you have the capacity to go and live those pictures in your head that you're creating through memory, imagination, and perception. So that's
I love a way
to go about this.
Yeah. And you know, I want our kids, the players that are listening to this and the parents that are listening to this, to know that while it's not 100%, I've had kids over my 30 years coaching experience in college that had to go home. They couldn't deal with it. Most of the players, not using any of the tools because I didn't know about them and I didn't know how to teach them, after 6 months to a year, couldn't wait to come back for the second season. This was their new home. The college was their new home. These were their new friends. This was their new support structure. And they did become to feel very comfortable with it just all on their own. I think utilizing tools like this might help them speed up that process, Dan.
I think so, Donna. And look, we're all human beings. And sometimes we enable ourselves to put that front foot forward and go and do what we feel is the right thing at the time. And it doesn't quite work out. And that's okay as well. It just means it wasn't your pathway and it wasn't quite for you. And that's absolutely fine. And then or if there's somebody who makes the decision not to go, that's fine too. And as you say, there's people who push themselves, go across the country or wherever they've got to go to, and they enjoy the experience or they find enjoyment in the experience. And you know, they're successful in their endeavors. I think life is a journey, isn't it? And sometimes we take a path and it's a dead end, and other times we take another path and it's a path that we love and we enjoy. And I don't think there's any right or wrong here. It's just giving yourself the very best opportunity to go in the direction that you'd like to go in. I think one of the challenges we've always had is that we equip young people, and I'm certainly not a young person now, but I include myself in this. When I reflect back, I became a professional golfer, and it's like trying to climb Everest in an anorak when you don't have the tools and the competencies and the skills. Around the psychological side of life, it's like climbing Everest in an anorak, and that's what I tried to do. And to be quite frank, it meant I didn't get off base camp as a professional golfer.
What's an anorak, Dan?
Not translate into American speak? It's like a cagoule. Do you have a cagoule? Do you have like a? It's a very light coat. A very light coat. Think of a coat that's very light, like a raincoat.
A windbreaker. We'll call it a windbreaker.
A windbreaker. Yeah. There we go. See, my metaphor is completely dead.
I was picturing like are you talking about like a canoe or a, what's he talking about? I
couldn't, wow, you don't, you guys don't have anoraks. Okay, okay. So it is like, let me start that one again then. It is like trying to climb Everest in a windbreaker, which is not going to get you far past base camp, right? What we need now, in my opinion, and something I invest in with my academy and other things, my books, etc., is to actually, and obviously this is sports specific and soccer specific because that's my target audience, but you could say, you know, everybody, every adolescent, every teen, every young person, and us as adults, we need to be tooled up. We need to be skilled. We need competencies. You know, I listen to a lot of college coaches talk about you can control your attitude, effort and energy. So you're going to get me started here, Don. I listen to a lot of college coaches talking about, well, you can control your attitude, effort and energy. And it's like, well, maybe some young people can. But actually, what we need to do as coaches is we need to help our young people be tooled up. We need to help them develop the skills and the competencies to be able to shift their attention, to be able to utilize self-talk, to be able to tap into memory, imagination, and perception so they have a different narrative, a different conversation with themselves so that they engage with a new world. They push through a comfort zone. We need skills and competencies, and we've got too many young people who aren't tooled up, can't climb Everest because they don't have those skills and competencies. So I just think
okay,
it's,
you hit something now. Now you got me going, Dan, and I want you to keep going because here's what you and I see. We live in a world, it used to be in the locker room, well, there still exists, where you've got these posters, and you can go to companies and you can buy these posters, and you can put them up all over your locker room. And now it's the internet and it's memes. And we are telling young people exactly that. We're telling them just be agreeable. Just turn up on time. That's all you have to do is work hard and get past your fears and put everything. And I want you to, you can name some of these things better than I do because I know this gets your goat. And I've learned from you, Dan, just over this past 2 years, I paid attention and I've started to repeat what I've learned from you. And that's people, just like juggling or striking a ball or bending a ball or receiving a ball is a skill. Mental skills are just that, skills. Mental strength is not something we're necessarily born with, but it's something that we often need to develop. And as coaches, if our job is to be a teacher, then of the four pillars of the game, I've noticed we tend to pay attention to the technical and the tactical and the physical, and we just ignore the mental, and we tell players, just be mentally tough. Just be tough. It's not that hard. Just be tough. That is the least empathetic thing that we could possibly be saying. And it's like we forgot everything that ever happened to us as a child, everything that ever happened to us as a young adult. We've just pushed all of that aside because we've crossed that bridge, and now we're telling them, just cross the bridge. Well, some people are scared of heights and can't cross the bridge, and some people don't have the same balance that we've had and maybe find the bridge to be a swaying bridge, right? It's not a stable bridge for them. And we're not teaching these skills, but yet we're screaming it on the internet every day, just do this and just do that from a mental perspective. Can you address that for us and once and for all? Because I'm starting to get tired of it, and I'm sure it must drive you crazier than it drives me. Well, I know it does because I follow you.
Yeah, look, I guess it comes from a good place. I just think it's where do I start there? I mean, I think one of the big posters that tends to come out on Twitter a lot is that one where 10 things that require no talent, but you should do, and it's like being coachable, turning up on time, great body language. There's a whole raft. I can't remember the other 7 things. Those are definitely 3 of them. I'm sure I remember them as I talk here. They're all skills and competencies. They're talents. They're characteristics. Being coachable. Some of the most disagreeable people I've met in my life are worth £100 million in transfer fees and on £10 million pounds a year, you know, $15 million a year. I love the fact that they're disagreeable. Human beings can be disagreeable. You know, the trait of agreeableness exists because from an evolutionary perspective, we can get along and get ahead by being disagreeable. As coaches, we want players to be agreeable, but as coaches, we can be disagreeable in our lives as well. There's a function and a value to that. And also as a coach, I don't mind having a disagreeable player because it gives me the opportunity to ask questions, be curious about that player. Well, how do you see it? How do you see that? You don't agree with my coaching point. Okay, that's fine. That's no problem at all. How do you see this? How can I support you? What do you want to do? How are we going to go about this? I think disagreeable players can help us be better coaches. I think it's lazy coaching to just want to have agreeable players who will just lay down and say, coach me. They have their own lens of the world. They see things on the pitch that we don't necessarily see. And so having the capacity to be an autonomy supportive coach where you ask questions, you gather information, you gather the lens of the world of the player, and then you co-create solutions together. That's an exciting form of coaching to me, in my opinion, rather than just I tell and you do. Where can you go from there? The turning up on time, of course you want players to turn up on time, and of course you're going to have boundaries and rules and guidelines, absolutely, but don't just assume that players find it easy to turn up on time. Some players, again, I think about an international team that I worked with where one of the players who was one of the better players found it very difficult to turn up on time. Just very, very disorganized. That was how he filtered his world. I've worked with coaches who have young players who just don't have a home environment whereby they've had the fortune to be shown how to turn up on time through discipline. Through getting up and having a schedule and a structure to their lives. So some people aren't fortunate enough to have that background where they've got perhaps guardians or parents who have helped them to develop that. That's a characteristic, that's a competence, that's a skill. You can't just assume that turning up on time is something that requires no talent. It's something that can be developed in somebody's life, and we're not all blessed with guardians and parents who enable us to develop that. Great body language in and of itself. I mean, it sounds pretty obvious to keep great body language, but there's so much complexity and nuance to that, in as much as on the one hand we want a player to be stunningly competitive, an enormous desire to win, and yet if they make a mistake, they're not allowed to be down about it. They're not allowed to portray any kind of disappointment. But we want them to have this enormous will to win, but they're not allowed to be disappointed. Well, those two don't necessarily go hand in hand. If I've got this enormous will to win, this desire to win, this crushing... There's a motivational guru who talks about you've got to have the desire to win synonymous with your desire to breathe, that type of thing, which I kind of get where he's coming from, right? But... if I've got that kind of will, then of course I'm going to be disappointed if I make a mistake. Of course I'm going to be devastated in that moment. Competition is much more nuanced than that. I have to build the capacity to play on, carry on, next action, stay focused, stay in that next moment. Well, that doesn't necessarily go hand with this competitive ideal of the will to win. So we've got to teach players how to want to win, what tasks and processes they need to engage in, and how they need to manage emotions that are synonymous with wanting to win. So there's enormous complexity there. So I'm not a huge fan of those posters. I think people attenuate to those posters. In the Premier League, you walk into, it's very interesting actually, you walk into a Premier League training ground and you do have those kind of posters by and large everywhere, and everybody ignores them. Everybody ignores them. I mean, that you might look at a, you might look at a Michael Jordan quote for once and go, oh yeah, that, yeah, I don't know, I've seen, I, yeah, I get that. Yeah, great stuff. They don't look at it again. It doesn't motivate them to complete their sets. Effective processes and effective mental skills help them to complete their sets. Effective processes, effective mental skills help people engage in useful habits. Effective processes, effective mental skills, effective group task skills positively impact teamship and leadership and relationship. Not these motivational posters lying around everywhere. So I'm not a fan. I think they simplify something where we do have to embrace a little bit of complexity there. So I'm not too sure if I've covered enough there, but I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I got it. I did find it. I'll just read it real quick for our listeners. 10 things that require zero talent: being on time, making an effort, being high energy, having a positive attitude, being passionate, using good body language, being coachable, doing a little extra, being prepared, having a stronger work ethic. So that's the list. Doing a little extra might be the only one where I could say, yeah, come on, people. You can help pick up the soccer balls afterwards. You can, you know, you can help, as the All Blacks talk about, sweeping the shed, right? Showing leadership by just doing something extra. But Jiminy Christmas, that list is a massive skill set, right? That may take somebody a lifetime to master some of those based on who they are.
Yeah, I think the attitude, effort, and energy, those three are just seriously misunderstood. They really require highly competent self-talk at times to be able to shift attitude, effort, and energy, embodied cognition, which is essentially the body language that you speak about, being flexible with attention. Being able to flex attention is an enormously important skill if we want players able to manage their attitude, effort, and energy. And don't get me wrong, Don. I mean, this can be built into any program. This can. My beef is that if we say as coaches, you can control your attitude, effort, and energy without building on that and broadening that, then that, I'm arguing, isn't particularly useful. We are outsourcing that to the players only. And I would argue it is your activities in your sessions that helps mediate attitude, effort, and energy. It's your capacity to engage players that mediates attitude, effort, and energy. It's your capacity to engage in coach behaviors and coach feedback that mediate attitude, effort, and energy, so that players feel that they are learning. It's your capacity to introduce mental skills into your coaching culture that mediates attitude, effort, and energy, so that players can become more competitive. That's a short list of many. That's not to say, no, let me put it like this. Once you as a coach, and I understand coaches, this is a college podcast, right? And personally, I think as a college coach, you are full time, by and large, most are. Some are part time, I understand. But if you're at that level, that's a level where your competence is stretched and tested, and I think it's a level where your coaching practice needs to be loaded with the right coaching processes. I don't think the right coaching process is to externalize control of attitude, effort, and energy onto the players alone. Do I think players need to be held responsible, accountable for certain things? Of course. But the accountability piece, again, is built by your capacity to offer the kind of adaptive environment that helps you to thrive and to players to thrive and to flourish, that gives them skills and competencies, that stretches, that helps them flex and stretch their characteristics. So, yeah, that's what I'd say to
that's
that.
Perfect.
In my opinion,
I think that's a perfect way to put it. No, I think that's a good way to put it, Dan. We can't hold people responsible. The old saying is, you don't know what you don't know, right? So if we don't give our players the tools, how can we hold them responsible for things that they don't know how to manage, how to deal with, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying.
Yes.
So tools. Let's talk about tools, Dan. Mm-hmm. I've only read two of your books because I'm always interested in things from a player perspective. And I really got deep into you at the end of my coaching career, and I never got to pick up your book that you do for soccer coaches, which is called, mm-hmm. remind us again,
Soccer Brain.
What's that one called?
So that's called Soccer Brain.
Soccer Brain, yes.
The two-player ones are Soccer Tough. Soccer Tough and Soccer Tough 2.
And those I've read cover to cover a couple times. And then I discovered that, so by the way, that's out there for players. And I want players to know that, and by the way, in my opinion, Dan, maybe you disagree with me, but I describe those two books. Those are books that you do, not books that you read. That's how I describe it.
Like
don't read them and then put them down and say, okay, I've read those books. And no, those are reference books is how I describe those to players. And that's how I describe it. Those are books that you do, not books that you read. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I've not heard that term before, and I love it. Brilliant. Thank you. I'm going to steal that shamelessly.
I'm flattered. Thank you. The other tool that you have, though, that all of our clients get access to, Sports Recruiting USA, with your generosity, Dan, you've made it affordable for us to be able to purchase this product for our clients, and that is, I want to talk about the Dan Abraham Soccer Academy a little bit, and what kind of tools that are in there that address some of these issues that we've been talking about today.
Well, you know what, Don, and to speak to what you've just said there, I'm only ever interested in getting involved with companies and entities who do the right thing and offer fantastic value for the people that they help. They do well by doing good, and that's why we have such a strong relationship. And I'm proud to sit on your advisory board because I know that you guys are just so passionate about, you know, whether it's just the mental side of the game, but just helping people first and foremost. So that's why we have such a strong relationship, and it's so cool to have the opportunity to help the young players that you've helped attain scholarships and get into colleges through my academy, which you generously sponsor and help those young players experience those techniques. And as you say, I just want to tool up those young players. I want to give them the best opportunity to explore just how good that they can be. And I know that, you know, I'm passionate about the integration piece. As you said earlier, too often we're focused on, you know, and this is for players as well, we're very socialized as players into the tech, tack and physical piece, and we don't really know what to do on the mental piece. You know, that still feels like it's in its infancy for players. It's a very interesting dynamic, Don. If you go onto Amazon and you type in golf psychology, you'll get hundreds, if not thousands, of texts back. You go and put soccer psychology or football psychology, and there's very little. There's my books and a few others, okay? Of course, you'd be buying my books and not others, but that's another story. That's a joke.
That's right.
but there's very little out there for players. And so that's what I've been working on hard for the last 15, 16, 17 years. And so when you go on to my academy, it's packed full with animated videos. And when I say animated video, not animations for children, but whiteboard animations. Whiteboard animations, which everybody will have seen on YouTube. These are great learning tools. It's a great learning tool. There's some scientific evidence to suggest we retain up to 15% more information with whiteboard animation. So every single video is a whiteboard animation. And it introduces players through bite-sized videos, so 2, 3, 4 minutes long, to the simple techniques I've devised over the years working with players at all levels, but especially at the very highest level. So the tools and techniques you'll find on there are the ones that Premier League players, members of the US Women's National Team, are working on. So, and the main four techniques on there are match script, which is about concentration, game face, which is about confidence, controllers, which, as the name suggests, is about control, taking control of yourself, and I've mentioned it already, ants and squashing ants, automatic negative thoughts. So when I sit down with a Premier League player, if we're working on a performance aspect, which is more often than not, script, game face, controllers, ants. Script, game face, controllers, ants. These are the things, simple techniques, that players can use to take charge of themselves out there on the field when they compete, that promotes consistent high performance under pressure. Now, these techniques come under a very, very important term, high performance mindset. I talk to players about having a high performance mindset and a low performance mindset. We want you in your high performance mindset, your HPM, high performance mindset, for 95 minutes. How? Script, game face, controllers, ants. Every action, every responsibility executed in your game face. I'm passionate about demystifying this for players and for coaches. Hence why I say game face rather than individual zone of optimal functioning. Hence why I say match script rather than goal orientation theory, right? Hence why I use the term controllers rather than cognitive restructuring, right? So it's all about demystifying this for players and coaches. It's about helping players and coaches understand that the mental side of the game can be integrated into the technical, tactical, and physical side whilst you're working on your technique, work on your game face. Whilst you're playing a small-sided game, squash your ants. While you're playing on an 11v11, work on remembering the plays in your match script. That's the integration piece. So, yeah, that every single I know that every single person going through SRUSA get the opportunity to come on this platform, and that's what they're going to be experiencing. There's over 100 videos. They also have weekly emails from me that put more meat on the bone, if I can say that, around the techniques as well. So they get the opportunity to experience the individual system there. There's two systems, individual and a team system. We'll come on to talk about the team system in a minute that I'm using to support many colleges with, but that's the individual system. I want them, Don, to be literate around the mental side of the game in such a simple, powerful way. They go on the pitch and they feel safer and more comfortable because they know they've got their controllers. They know what they've got to do with their game face. And it's all integrated into the process of playing. Simple as that.
And the really cool part about this that I don't know that I've heard anybody or any system or anything like this addressed is that these our players can actually invite their parents and a coach, right, into this. And what was that about? What was that idea about?
I talked about demystifying. I talked about integrating. Let me give you another principle here, and that's a joined up solution. I didn't want a player just to have a bunch of player videos. I didn't want a coach just to have a bunch of coach videos. I wanted to create a joined up solution. So this is the beauty of it. When a player who's going through SRUSA signs up, they've got their player videos. They can invite their parents or a parent or a guardian, and that parent can see the player videos and their own parent videos, where they learn on those videos how to reinforce the techniques in the academy. And then that player can invite their coach, and that coach has access to the player videos and their own coach videos. And that enables that coach to reinforce the techniques, learn how to reinforce in their own coaching process those techniques. That's a joined up solution. So it's demystified, it's integrated into the tech, tac and physical piece, and it is a joined up solution. So everybody essentially sings from the same song sheet. That makes it very powerful because you've got the player in the middle there, and they've got a parent reinforcing. They've got potentially a coach, their coach reinforcing this. So in their small-sided game, come on, stick to your game face, squash your ants. That becomes something then that the player is immersed in. And that's a very powerful position in order to change behavior, in order to develop mental skills, in order to be able to learn how to flex attention and use those skills out there under pressure.
Yeah, it's so powerful to have that support structure around a player. So let's talk about from a team perspective, and this is something that's, that if I had known about this when I was coaching, I would have been all in, because it takes some of the pressure off of me as a coach of having to read book after book after book and study and study and study all on my own and create my own curriculum and try to figure out, which is what kept me away from sports psychology as a coach, because I honestly, I was scared that I was going to screw it up more than I was going to help. I was scared that I was going to make a mistake that would make it worse for the players, not better, because I'm playing sports psychologist when I'm not a sports psychologist. So the team solution that you've developed, tell us a little about that, if you would.
It's so interesting what you say there, Don, because I think this is the thing, is psychology can be so scary for coaches because it's broad and it's deep. And it's like, well, where do I start with this? And they read the odd smattering of books. And I actually think, almost reversing up here a little bit, that's where those kind of posters that we talk about, you know, come in. Because then they just look at the very simple stuff that actually give a half-truth, if you like. And so, you know, the Dan Abraham's team, the Dan Abraham Soccer Academy team plan is really designed to do just that, to help coaches deliver on mental skills and the psychological side of the game, to help them make sense of it. It's designed to solve a problem. So the academy supports clubs, high schools, colleges. Last fall, we supported 23 colleges from Division 1 to Division 3 and into junior college. So there's a budget to fit all. Now, the interesting thing is, I think colleges do have a challenge here, because it's like, well, how do we do this with our players? Very few colleges have the luxury of a sports psychology department. Actually, interestingly, many of whom do, that sports psychology department has themselves limited resources, and they do tend to siphon off into the American football, the baseball, the basketball, because those are the bigger sports, you know, and they are the sports that maybe have the more resources and bring in more money. And so even those at the bigger schools have a slight problem. And there's a kind of mental health bent with those sports psychology departments. And so there's that. And I think also for many college head coaches, it's a bit head scratchy, because it's like, well, do I invite in a speaker? The problem with inviting in a speaker, which can serve its purpose, but players just forget stuff. They listen, it's great, right, I'm motivated. The next day they've forgotten it all. Okay. So there's that. And then there's an enormous cost to bringing in a sports psychologist to work with your team. So this is where I think the Soccer Academy can really, really help. So you have access to the videos. Everybody gets access to the videos, 24/7 access. You get access to the weekly emails as well. And Don, you said that you would have liked to have signed up to it when you were coaching. I know you because you're a student of this, and you would have really liked it because there's also a private WhatsApp group for coaches as well. I support you. I give you the feel of being there with you every day. You get a little message or messages from me on that WhatsApp group to support you around the techniques in the academy that help, that they upskill you to deliver on game face, script, ants, controllers, HPM, high performance mindset, and the other techniques in the academy. But they also take a broader look at psychosocial around how to help players learn, how to engage players. So I'm providing more value there and helping you make sense. So there's that private WhatsApp group that gives the coaches a CPD feel. You've got this sports psych there every day with you. It feels like a continuing professional development program. Everybody has access. And here's the thing, the videos, so integrated, demystified, joined up solutions, everybody is all in. It's evidence informed, and it's coach driven. So you as a coach can go out there and you've got now the tools to remind players. Players can watch the videos, but you as a coach can drive this. Your leaders can drive this as well. Everybody can be all in on mental skills. And I say that to the coaches who are on the platform. And I think this is where they've had quite a lot of success, is you take these techniques out onto the grass with you. So as I said earlier, you're working on script, game face, controllers, squashing ants, HPM, on the grass, in your rondos, keep balls, small-sided games, 11v11s, passing activities, anything that you're doing it on the grass. You as coaches are driving this. Your assistant coaches can drive this. Get in amongst the players, help them squash ants. Get in amongst the players, help them drive game face. Your leaders can drive this out there on the field. You can team around this. So there's a real identity piece here. And again, I think this is where programs have found this really useful, is you start to create an identity around what do we do here. It doesn't matter who we go play against, we stick to our game faces. We squash our ants. We play in high performance mindset. We go and play against the conference leaders, we're in HPM. We go and play in against the bottom of the conference, we play in HPM. We have an identity here that we're starting to create around mental skills, and it's a shared identity, it's a shared mental model around these mental skills. And so you're creating leadership, teamship, and relationship here. So that becomes very, very powerful. Coaches have used this for group sessions. They've played the videos up in a room. Everybody's all in having a conversation about their match script, their game faces. It's shared. It delivers on psychological safety. Because all of a sudden, Don, we're normalizing ants. Let's almost go back to the beginning of the conversation. We are normalizing ants. Everybody has ants. We're normalizing it. That's okay. We're going to help each other squash ants. We're two centre-backs are going to help each other squash ants, stick to their game face. Execute every action, every responsibility in their game face. And that's the beauty of having this robust system that is system-led, but it's robust enough to be individual-specific. Every player is going to have a different game face. Every player is going to have a different script, and the script is going to change week to week depending on who you're playing with. Every player will like something different. Some people like to use their body controller. Others like to use their self-talk controller. Some people like to use their game face and squash ants. Others like to have their script and their self-talk controller. So every player is a little bit different. And so you can have group sessions. You take the techniques out onto the grass with you. It can drive your player development program. So you have formal conversations that way. You can have informal conversations about it with players. Hey man, I thought you squashed your ants really well the other day. Great job. You stuck to your game face there. Awesome stuff. Keep going with that. And the biggest beauty of this, done. Okay, the biggest beauty of this is, as I say to every coach who uses the program, I love the players who either think they're mentally tough or mentally skillful, mentally strong, or don't necessarily buy into the mental side of the game. I love those players because this program gives them no hiding space. Because if those players want to claim, well, I'm mentally skillful, I don't need this, or they want to claim, well, this doesn't really exist, I just need to get good technique, great, fine, fantastic. We've got this program in. If I notice you in your low performance mindset, if I notice you engulfed in ants, that gives me the opportunity to come up and say, hey, come on, you know. But the most important thing is that everybody is all in. That's where this works really powerfully. And I suppose the very last thing to say is that, look, at the college level, whether I get some programs are more about results and others are more about participation, it lends towards both. It lends towards both. The techniques drip feed down into well-being and welfare techniques as well. It lends towards participation because it helps players enjoy and gives them more of a holistic education around soccer. And from a competitive standpoint, we had, of those 23 teams, we had some teams who featured in their conference for the first time, some who won their conference at the end. One team that got to the NCAA, they got further than they've ever got in their history. And that coach has very kindly said, one of the things that really helped was the academy. So I just love supporting those college programs because it gives them the opportunity to experience mental skills, and it tools up those players and coaches as well.
I think that's a good ending point, Dan. I think you wrapped that up very, very well. So for everybody listening, in our notes, in our show notes, we will have ways to connect with Dan, links to his academy, and don't forget his books. You can easily get it on Amazon. I found, Dan, if everybody's a little bit of price conscious, there is a volume that you developed with Soccer Tough
Soccer
1
tough,
and
yep.
2 in a single volume book. And I like that because I could carry, rather than carrying two books around with me, I can just carry one book around with me. And it was a little bit cheaper. So people are price conscious, which we probably all are in this day and age with the raising cost of living. I think that's it was very kind of you to be able to put those into one volume. And we'll be sure to put those in the notes for everybody. So thank you again, Dan, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Don, it's been an honor and a pleasure. And as I said earlier, it's so exciting to be involved with you guys. I love the work that you're doing. And I know that from interacting with some of your players and even some of the coaches who benefit from your work, I know that everybody appreciates it as well. So thank you so much, mate.
It's a mutual admiration society.
A mutual black slapping, which hopefully nobody switches off and goes, oh, that was a bit cheesy. But no, look, I really do. And I appreciate you and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
All right. Thanks. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you guys on the next episode of Inside College Soccer.